dead and he is low. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue
this morning. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. He's Lord of your life this morning. That's why you gather this morning. Praise the Lord. Should we just welcome actually to our visitors. Lord bless you, each one. New faces. And let's just bow our heads in prayer at this time. Welcome our Lord here. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we're grateful, Lord, this morning, Lord. First of all, Lord, for a beautiful day, Lord, that we could come before you and worship this morning, Lord, and lift our hands in praise this morning. And our hearts as well, Lord Jesus, giving you all the praise and all the glory for your goodness, Lord, your mercy unto us, Lord, that you would call us unto yourself, Lord, and that we would come to know you in the light of your word, Lord. So we just commit ourselves into your hands at this time as we come around your word, as we come and worship this morning. And we pray a blessing upon the word and the worship this morning, that you would bless it and anoint it unto each heart. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Shall we sing number 224? Mine eyes have seen the glory.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Where he is trampling out the vengeance, where the great threat was born. He had loosed the frightful lightning of his terrible sword. His strength is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. I have seen him in the wonders of a hundred circumstances, in the hopes of his release. The truth is, I need to know. One is very fancy, and I need to know.
Hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah.
is in my soul today. He's given himself to us for all eternity. Let's sing number 312. I'm thinking of the rapture.
I am thinking of the rapture. Oh, what is it?
Looking forward to that time. Let's sing number 307 and then we'll have items and a few there. So.
Behold, what manner of man is this who stands in God and man? Neither flame of fire and sun. John
first, and then we'd have the Hughes. See any others? No.
is greater far than time or pain can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to write the law.
beautiful song, a revelation of the love of God. If ever a time you get quiet, just read the words of that song and let it, and really think about it. Think about the love of God. When you're feeling sorry for yourself or you're feeling down, think about the love of God. And it'll really lift you. I'm not joking. It'll really lift you up. Thank you, the Hughes family, if you'd like to come now.
Holy Spirit.
to us again. Holy Spirit, welcome. You are welcome here. Guide us, Holy Spirit. Speak to us again.
Just going to read these prayer requests out. I'm going to ask if Brother Tony would like to pray for these, and I've been told that you may have a greeting as well, possibly. Yeah, no, I bet you didn't know about that, but you do. Brother Lee said that you were one of his old fishing buddies, but I don't know what he meant by that because you look quite young to me. So. We'll just remember Brother Paul Manning. He's still recovering from surgery, that the Lord would heal him up completely. He'd be free from any issues, and Brother Peter Mason as well. We'll remember him before the Lord. We've just got one here from Brother Paul Frangos. Just give our greetings to you, Brother Paul, actually, if you're listening in. So he's got an evening, everybody. Bro Ron Peterson has been hospitalised with COVID-19 and a double pneumonia. His wife, Sister Sandy, is also fighting COVID-19. Brother Don Saunders, Brother Bobby McGarry, Brother Mayo Chua are also hospitalised. There is a long list of others who are home with it. I know your prayers are greatly appreciated, and that's from Brother Paul. And I know we weren't affected by it, and that you can sort of shrug it off, to be honest, about the whole thing. But there's many people, many saints that have actually been affected by it. So we want to remember them before the Lord this morning. And we'll just remember Israel before the Lord. They that bless Israel will be blessed. Also, like to thank the Lord for the answered prayers. Is there any unspoken? I'm not going to ask for spoken, if that's just by raised hand. Hold them before the Lord. Thank you, Brother Tony, if you wouldn't mind coming and bring these before our Heavenly Father, who loves us very much. Amen. And it's easy to say that, but if you think about it for yourself. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. This morning brings back many memories. So I can remember the time. Just bring this in a bit of a greetings. A few faces I can remember. Not as young as I used to be. I appreciate my brother said he didn't think I was that old, so that was good. But, but faithful brothers and sisters. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Stuck to the Word of God. So it's a joy for me this morning to bring you greetings. And I was going to talk about that prayer request for Brother Ron. It's already brought. And there's people all around the country, all around this globe, uplifting him this morning. He's been a faithful servant of our message of the hour for many, many years. And we can truly, even in our prayers when we leave here, let's just lift them up and the saints there before the Lord. Also, I'd like to bring you greetings from our little fellowship in Tauranga. I was asked specifically by Bruce and Marley McKee to bring you greetings, Howard. And so, we just bring those greetings. And it's good to see new faces. Good to see the old ones. But, we're all going to be changed one day. We were up here for a memorial service for Jack Kuru, He passed away several weeks ago, but because of the COVID, they couldn't have the funeral. And I know he has been here in the fellowship. So that's the reason why we're here. So certainly good. The Lord's given us a good day, hasn't he? Amen. Mm. Mind you, every day with the Lord's a good day. You know. You know, if it's not, we need to get down on our knees and ask him why. But every day is a good day. And one day, we're going to have fellowship together in heavenly places. What a day that will be. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. Amen. That's our goal, isn't it? You know, that's what we're striving for. That's what we fight the battles for. And we can stand victorious today because, not because of what we can achieve, but because of his grace. Because only grace has kept us. When I look upon some of the, I'd just say original, let's put it that way, members that were here when I was here, it's only grace that's kept each one of us. So we're just so thankful for that this morning. So let's just bring these requests before the Lord. Father, it's with joy that we can come and boldly, Lord, proclaim victory for these requests, Lord. We just commit them to you. And Lord, names have forsaken me, many of them, Lord, but you know them, Father. Lord, especially want to bring Brother Ron and Sister Sandy and the saints there and Phoenix, Lord, before the throne of grace this morning, Lord. And Lord, you know their need this morning, Lord. But we believe this morning, Father, that you're the same healer that walked this face on the face of this earth, Lord. And your word declares that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. So we would just pray, Father, for their deliverance, Lord. We pray for their healing, Lord Jesus, that you would touch their bodies, Lord. And we just pray, believing, Lord, in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. 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 So God bless each and every one of you.
Just lost our piano. That's right. Let's just stand and sing at this time. Number 299, Who I Am.
Oh, glorious victory, the day he set me free and made my heart his very strong. My life is so long ago. I'm the prisoner of love divine, and now I live to bring you to. Thank you.
Song number 382, it's manifesting time on the way to church. So I wanna sing it this morning in my life, but hell to come.
The voice of my beloved, behold he quickly comes to over mountains, over hills, he runs. I long to hear his voice, I long to hear him say, arise my love, my fear one come away. It's manifesting time, the fruits are on the vine, it's lovely time.
That's what we're living for, is the coming of the Lord. So I wonder if we could just, you've all sat down, would you like just to stand up again? We're just going to read the scriptures. Sorry, that was bad timing, wasn't it? Amen. I want to turn in the Bible to Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. And we're going to read that now. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. May God just bless His word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee, our lovely one. We've just been singing about You, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that You would come now, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, make Your word a living experience for every person here. Lord, we're trusting in Your mercy and grace today. We're not trusting in our own selves. We're trusting in Thee alone. And I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit, the interpreter of Your own word, will come and make it real to every heart here, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity for another day of grace, another day to worship You, another day to praise You, Lord. May we never, ever take it for granted. Lord, we just pray You'll bless each one here. Bless those that are listening around the world, wherever they are. May they receive of this also, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just an update on Brother Ron Peterson, who I know fairly well. I've been to his church a few times, a couple of times actually, in Phoenix, Arizona. And I just heard from Brother Greg Alford that he's actually on the mend and improving, and his wife is very much on the mend. So we just thank God for that. And we're believing for the other brethren who have also gone into hospital, some are still at home, that God will bring them through. Who believes that?
Amen.
That's the way. Amen. Now the subject this morning is very simple. And some simple things that are easy to remember. The just shall live by faith. And when this was first revealed and made known to the world, it was many years ago through the ministry of Martin Luther, who was a monk. But no matter whether he was a monk or whatever he was, the Holy Spirit came down into his office. The light shone on the scriptures. The just shall live by faith. And he set the world free. The bound world that were under traditions of men. Very wonderful testimony. But we're not going to go into that just now. And I just pray that the Lord will just give us the understanding of what the Word of God is saying to us here. And I just believe it's really wonderful that this truth has been mentioned and rooted in the Old Testament. Our first one was in Habakkuk, where it said, the just shall live by his faith. And the second one here in Romans also says, as it is written, referring to Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. I believe the scriptures do not chop and change. I believe there's perfect harmony in the Word of God. And you know, if you have to start changing things to make things fit, there's something wrong with your revelation. It's got to fit because it was... is written under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Men of old, inspired of the Holy Spirit, wrote the scriptures. So we need the same Holy Spirit that wrote the scriptures to come here this morning and reveal it to you and to me that we may understand what the Spirit is saying. So this is a foundational subject. Now the reason I felt led to speak this is because, you know, brother and sister, there's a lot of people who go to churches. And maybe even some here, I don't know. They go to church, but they don't really know how they're saved. They're not sure. You saved? Yeah, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Why do you believe in Jesus? We need to come and see from the Word of God clearly what God has done for us. It's beautiful, and it's wonderful, and it's, to me, it's very clear. Now, I've been a Christian for over 50 years, but I have never seeing this so clearly as I see it today, and maybe in the future God will even make it even more clearer to me. Because when He reveals it to you, you see it clearly. So it's a foundational subject, And it's really important that we hold on to it. Because when the trials come, you've got to know where you're standing. You know, there's people, their lives are threatened this morning by sickness. And as we've heard, some of them are Christians. But how do they know they're saved? You know, it's not until you come to the gate. It's not until you come to cross the river that you've got to have that sorted in your heart before God. Because this is a question each one of us need to answer. So I want to say this, that the just shall live by faith. I'm actually going to break down that scripture. Really simple. Because it has powerful meanings. And faith is the foundation of our walk with God. Faith is our foundation with our walk with God. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. We read, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, He's here, He's existing, and He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So it's really important you believe God. Don't believe me. Don't believe the church. You believe God. And this is His absolute, the written Word of God. The Scriptures is the final authority. It's not what I think or the church thinks or some minister thinks. It's what God's Word says. Now, if the minister says the same as the Scripture, that's good. But brothers and sisters, we've got to just say what the Bible says. And that's what we want to do this morning by the grace of God. And so, we thank Him that we have His Word. Now, right in the beginning, faith was required. It really was. It's just all in the Bible, so clearly. We go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. We read this, by faith. Now, we're going back to Abel. This is right in the Garden of Eden time. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So by faith, he knew what to do. They had a problem. They had sinned, and they were separated from the presence of God. So they knew what to do by all. Abel knew what to do by revelation. They required a sinless sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. And we know what the Bible says. He offered it unto God and God accepted it. His brother Cain, say stepbrother, he had an offering too, but it wasn't blood. It was fruits and beautiful display of vegetables. It looked good, but no power in it. Because God requires the shed blood, innocent blood for sacrifice. That was God's requirement. And that was revealed to Abel. And Abel was forgiven of his sin and given eternal life by faith, because he believed. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So nothing has changed this morning. And this is our subject today. Now, there's been great discrepancy. I'm telling you, there's been great discrepancy over faith unto salvation throughout the centuries. Many hundreds and thousands and millions of souls have died for it. They've given their lives. They were burnt to the stake. They were fed to the lions. All because they believed in salvation through Jesus Christ. And they were opposed by the religious orders of that day. Meant to be Christian. They were murderers. Millions of Christians were slaughtered because they believed in Jesus Christ. They could be put to death because they said the Lord's Prayer. That's how unusual that was in those days. Praise God.
We've seen the light since then. So there's been a discrepancy. This wonderful truth has been debated for centuries and is still being. So how does one receive eternal life? That's the question. I want to know how to receive eternal life. I can't rely on anybody else. I've got to rely on God's eternal word. And for God to reveal it to me and show me how I can receive eternal life. Yes, that's not too important. Wait if you die this afternoon. Be very important. You see what I'm saying? We just let these things slip by, but then we're faced with reality. Like people have in recent times and even today. And this is a shameful thing. After God sending His word to us, He gave us His word. And people still confused. The discrepancy is over the power of faith in God's word. It was debated in the beginning. Cain didn't like what Abel did. Abel offered a sacrifice by revelation, of an innocent blood sacrifice. And God received it. And Cain didn't get any recognition of his sacrifice. And there's contention. And he came up and he murdered his brother. I tell you, these spirits are powerful. He murdered him over the way of salvation. And this discrepancy brought a terrible reaction, as we said. That religious spirit still lives today. Who killed the martyrs in the Dark Ages? The priests. So nothing's changed. It's always been that way. It was over the discrepancy of faith unto salvation. So what do the scriptures say? That's what we want, the authority of God's word. Who loves the word of God? You can rest your soul in it. Not on the church, not on a preacher, but what God has said. So when people move away from the Bible, we have a discrepancy and get into trouble. Serious trouble. Man always sought to devise his own way into heaven. Oh, even go back to the power of Babel. They thought they could walk up the tower and get into heaven. Now that's a form of salvation, but it wasn't of God. And God stopped it, we know. So it's so subtle. Because it looks so spiritual. As I said to you earlier, in the Sardis church age, Martin Luther faced intellectual giants. These guys, these people, were really brainstorms. It was a time of the right of the man. A man, a creature, and they were very, very intellectual. You wouldn't have a stand trying to debate with them, Brother Taz. They were smart people. Very smart. And so we see, when God revealed to him that what the scripture said, that when he looked it up that morning, the sun shone into his little prayer room, that's what I believe, said, "The just shall live by faith," his eyes came open. He received pure revelation of the word of God by the Holy Ghost. So he went out to share it with everybody. And of course, the organized religion, they called him a heretic. They wanted to burn him to the stake. You know what happened? God protected Martin Luther. Because he had a message for that time that was so important. It set the world free from the bondage of Roman Catholicism. It was terrible. People went through terrible times of doing all these penance and torches and walking on glass and going up steps and on their hands and knees and to get salvation. And people do a lot of things today to try and get saved. If I can just go to church, that'll get me saved. It won't. It's good to go to church, but it won't save you. So we can conjure up all manner of ways into the kingdom of heaven. But Martin Luther, he got a clear revelation. And it was just the beginning for God restoring his bride tree back to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Like all revelations, I say this, like all revelations, they're simple. Revelation does not make it more complex. Because I got a great revelation. They tell you about your head spinning. Revelations reveals the simplicity of the Word of God to you. So it's really important that we have a true revelation. And Galatians chapter 3 verse 11 we read. There are quite a few scriptures, so I'm just going to keep going. Just follow it on the screen if you can't look it up. It says this, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. My, what a revelation that is. But that no man is justified by the law. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So what is the law today? You know, people can interpret a lot of ways of saying that, and a lot of them are probably true. But the law today is any works or any actions we can do, or not do for that matter, in order for God to accept us. That is the law. If I do this, if I go to church, if I pay my tithes, and if I do that, then God will accept me. That's a law. There's nothing in the Bible about that. Now, all those things are good, but they're not to save you. You do them because you love God. In Martin Luther's day, it was to do penance. Self-affliction, like they're going to the cross themselves. Some of them carry crosses on their shoulders at Easter time, and they're going to be crucified again. They thought if they did that, God would be pleased with it. They had to walk up some stony steps. God would receive them. Martin Luther was inflicted with penance you would not believe if you know his life story. I want to read you something he said in his own words. Because he was a monk. Remember this. Martin Luther was dead sincere. He's no fooling around. He really believed God. And he said this, I kept the rule of my order so strictly that I may say that if ever a monk got into heaven by his monkery, it was I and all my brothers in the monastery who knew me will bear me out. If I had kept on any longer, I should have killed myself with vigils and prayers and readings and other works. That's history. That's a fact. Martin Luther lived under great condemnation of sin. He was never free, even though he was a scholar. He was so educated, so went up so high in the Catholic Church, they were considering him to be a pope. So he was a very intellectual man, but he had no peace in his soul. That's what God's looking at. That's when God came to him. He did everything possible to be forgiven. It's good to know your sins are forgiven. It's the greatest thing in the world to know your sins are forgiven. Until one day God opened his eyes to what God had done for him already. Martin Luther's revelation was the greatest victory to the church since the early church. Definitely. I mean, they in Pentecost, they had a tremendous, the early church was really wonderful. They had it right. And Paul and Peter and all those brothers had it right. The gospel was laid down. But by and by, as they started to organize, they started to drift away from the word. You got into terrible bondage. That's why it's so important to stay with the Bible. Stay with the word. Don't deviate. Don't alter it. Don't twist it. Just say what it says. Hallelujah. Who believes that? Amen. And so we see Martin Luther, he was really sent of God as one of the great reformers. And he was so desperate, as I said, through his personal experience, he was so desperate. The trouble today is that people are not desperate. They are not desperate to get close to God, and others are too desperate. There's two sides of it. Struggling to get close to God. If I do this, if I do that, I fast and pray and all those things, and they are okay in their place. But you can struggle, bang your head against a brick wall when Jesus Christ has already done it for you. That's the truth. And that's what our subject's about. We'll see. Praise the Lord. Who loves the Lord this morning? You love about there in America? This goes out to a lot of countries on a video. And we get lots of responses from people. It's really wonderful. So you see, these things are very important that we're talking on. It's a great victory that came to the church. Others, as I say, become so desperate. You see people, they are Christians, but they look like a thundercloud. Who's ever seen a thundercloud Christian? They walk around. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. And they're just saying, oh, it's just so hard. It's too terrible. And it may be. But our victory is in Christ Jesus. And so we want to see those sort of people helped as well. We all have our hard times. We all have our trials. But our victory is in Christ alone. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Hallelujah. And so, God in His loving grace showed Martin Luther that one scripture that leapt off the page, the just shall live by faith. And I just want to paraphrase this verse because I thought, people just read it, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith. Hold on, what does that mean? So I just want to spend a few moments on paraphrasing that. So the first part of this verse is the just. Now, you need to understand what the just means. The just means those who have never sinned in God's eyes. Now, this is a powerful word. The just, those who have never sinned, that's the word of justification. You're justified means you never did it. In God's eyes, we say, I know I made mistakes. But in God's eyes, if you're under the blood of Jesus, you never made those sins. That's the power of the blood of Jesus to make us clean and pure. Hallelujah, somebody. You're allowed to say praise the Lord here. So it's wonderful. It's very powerful. So justified does not mean you were forgiven. Listen carefully. Justification, just being justified, doesn't mean you're forgiven. No. You never did it. That's the difference. You don't need to be forgiven if you never did it. Because there's two laws, is what you think and what God said. You were forgiven. We think we're forgiven, and we are, of course. But when you come under the blood of Jesus Christ, and you can't become justified, you never did it. God cannot remember your sins. Any of them. That's thus saith the Lord. Not my opinion, that's what he said. He cannot remember any of your sins if you have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and come under that covering. And this is the reading in Hebrews 10:16. This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws, his word, into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah! He'll never remember them. Oh, now you say, how could God do that? I don't know. But he can. Now sins are, you say, oh, not the sins are. What are iniquities? Iniquity is when you know not to do it and you still do it. That's iniquity. He said he'd remember those no more. Oh, the power of the blood of Jesus. Precious blood of Jesus. We should sing about it more, Brother Tim. I think we do. But the blood of Christ wipes away every one of your sins from God's memory. So we see that when you are justified, in God's eyes, you never sinned, D.D. Never. That is a powerful fact. Because if you want to go to heaven, the Bible says, be ye therefore perfect. You're not getting into heaven unless you're perfect. And the only way you can be perfect is to believe on the blood of Jesus Christ. This is a perfect covenant. A full covenant. And people start shifting along and say, I'm not good enough. Of course you're not good enough. That's why Jesus Christ died for you. The devil comes along and twists your mind up. I'm a failure. Yes, you are a failure, but Jesus paid it all. Amen. And all to him I owe. Thank you, Lord. So we see the just as those that have never sinned in God's eyes. Not in your eyes, in God's eyes. You say, what sin was that? He said, I don't remember that. He said he can't remember anymore. When the blood's been applied by faith, Jesus Christ can never remember again. He wipes away every one of our sins. The next part of the scriptures, the just, says, shall live. Now, the live part is important. The live means that they receive not just life, but eternal life. The just shall live, shall receive eternal life, everlasting life. In John 3:14, we read, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. If you believe on him, there's your faith. Whosoever has faith, whosoever believeth on the Lord, should not perish, but have life, eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, there's the faith, believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. They say, praise the Lord. I accept the word of God. I accept this for me. You've got to accept it for you. We're all going to accept it personally. Then we come to, we're justified means we never sinned. If we believe on him, with the just, that means we're sinless. Believe on the Lord, we'll receive life, eternal life. And it's by faith. The just shall live. The next part is by faith. This is why we stand off faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith in what Jesus has done for you at Calvary, in accordance with the Word of God. faith, not works of the law. Martin Luther knew by revelation this. He went through tremendous trial. He beat himself with stripes. He'd done everything. If you read his life story, it's incredible what that brother went through. But he's set free. Just like that. How? Through the Word of God. God's Word set him free. And we see here that it wasn't through the vigils and the prayers and the readings and the preachings and the teachings and other works that gave him peace with God. No, simply by faith in what God's Word says. Then Jesus has paid it all for his sins. So what did Jesus do for you? What did Jesus do for you? People talk about Jesus. They go to church. Everyone talks about Jesus. But what did he do for you? Was it that he made you an honorable citizen? No. It may turn out that way. That's good. Was it that he made you a Christian? No. What did he do for you? Did he make you a good message believer? No. It wasn't it either. So what did he do? Jesus Christ swapped places with you. This is pretty amazing. He gave you his robe of righteousness. And he took your filthy rags of all your sin, he took upon himself. Now, brother and sister, God's going to show you that. And when you see that, you're free. Let's turn to Isaiah 61, verse 10, which says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me, put a garment on, with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, not yours, his. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses, all of them, are as filthy rags. The best you can do for God is a filthy, stinky rag. That's what the Word says. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. He became sin for you and me. Who loves the Lord? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made me to be, he hath made him to be sin for us. Jesus was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He swapped places. He took our uncleanness and our filthiness, and he gave us the robe of his righteousness. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. He gave it to you. If you receive it by faith, it's yours this morning. He became sin for you and me. It's just so wonderful, I believe. You've been given heaven. We were given heaven, and he was given hell. Do you know that? Do you know Jesus went down to hell? He did. We'll read that. You can read that. Nancy, turn that up, please. Ephesians 4, 9. It says this. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Next verse. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Jesus went down into hell. That's where you should have gone. That's where we actually belong for our sins. But he went down there, the precious Savior. He took off his coat of righteousness and he put it around you. And you became a sinless son of God or daughter of God. And he took our filth, all of it. And he went down. You have been given heaven, he was given hell. You and I should have been nailed to that cross, but he swapped. And even if we died on the cross, we would still be lost sinners, because we were not a sinless sacrifice. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Nobody here became a sinner. Not one of you. You're born one. You're born in sin. You are born a sinner from your birth. How we need the Savior. Who wants the Savior? God help us, Lord. So wonderful, Lord Jesus. We love you. Even if we died, that wouldn't have saved us. We could have been a really good person, been kind to our neighbors. We just lived a perfect life. Everyone said, oh, that's perfect. But when you're born, you are lost at that point. When you're born of your mother, you're already lost. You're born into sin. And you need a Savior right there. And there, when God in heaven looked down and he saw sin hanging there, Jesus Christ on the cross, God looked over and he saw sin hanging there, and that filthy slime of sin was yours and mine. And the fire of God was kindled against our Lord Jesus. Why was God angry with him? Why was God against the Lord Jesus? Why did he just put him through this terrible test, a terrible trial, to be beaten and tortured and his clothes stripped off and nailed publicly on a cross? Why? Because of your sin and my sin. I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is a special being, somebody really special. You talk about character? He has all the character we'd ever need. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. They punched him for our iniquities, for your iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, to get our peace, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. You're already healed. Every person has already been healed right now. I want to read that from the Amplified Bible, Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities, and chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being. For us upon him, and with the stripes
that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. That's the word of God. I've just read it. That's thus saith the word of God. Who believes they can? They are, people say, can I get healed? You're already healed. Not you can get healed. You are already healed. So what do you do? Just say, thank you, Lord. Receive what he's done for you. So why did God pour out all this wrath, these terrible things upon the Son of God? There he was, all alone. Everyone deserted him. All the people deserted him. All his disciples deserted him. And God deserted him because of his filthy condition of your sin and my sin all over him. You see, brothers and sisters, God's a holy God. He cannot stand it. If you knew how much God hates sin, I tell you, it would be changed in a moment. God hates sin. The curse to every person. So you see, the wrath of God was poured out upon Jesus. And in simple terms, sin, which was represented at Calvary, had to be paid for. God's a loving God, and God is a just God. Sin has to be paid for. He was the only one able to pay for your sin, because he was perfect. He was born a child of God, the Son of God. He had God's blood running in him. He didn't come through any human instrumentality. He was a virgin-born, sinless Son of God. Just turn to Isaiah 53:10. Let's read these words. It's so inspirational. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Please God. So how could God be pleased bruising his own son? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. See, we think, oh, don't be, that would be mean. That's mean, just like Peter said. Lord, you're not going to be died. You're not going to be crucified. Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me. That's what we were talking about last week. The human mind. Oh, no, Lord. Oh, we don't want you to go through this. And all of us be lost? Peter just lacked revelation, that's all, at that time. He soon got it later. He soon got a revelation later, what he was doing. So I pleased the Lord to bruise him and offer him his soul as an offering for sin. It's a sacrifice that has to take the judgment. Jesus Christ was a sacrifice for our sin. And that sacrifice had to take the judgment for you and I. Not the sinner or the believer. They didn't take it. It had to come to the sacrifice. God is only interested in the sacrifice. When it comes to judgment, it's all about the sacrifice. Not the believer or the unbeliever or the sinner. I'm going to ask Brother Tim. He'll come down here for a moment and he's going to help me do, make something clear for you. We all know the Old Testament, how it was, the Old Testament law. If a person sinned every year, they'd bring a lamb before the priest. And I want you to note this, because this is a very powerful type. So they used to come down to the priest in the temple with their lamb to be offered for their sins. So Brother Tim, would you like to come now, please?
You see, he's got his hand there, he's got a little rope. You've got to have a good imagination, but he's got a little rope around the lamb's neck. He's bringing it to the priest. I am the high priest. Tim's representing the sinner. And I am representing the priest to offer this sacrifice for his sins. Now watch what happens. He comes in and he gives the lamb to the priest. The priest brings the lamb to himself, and you know what he says to the sinner? Stand over here just for a moment, sir. Just stand there. I don't need you. Now this is important. And the priest examines the lamb. He checks under his tongue to see if there's no marks or blemishes. He makes sure that the lamb is perfect. And Jesus Christ was a perfect lamb. Amen. And God accepted that. The priest said nothing about the sinner. He didn't have to be perfect. He couldn't be. It was the lamb that has to be perfect. The sacrifice has to be perfect. And Jesus met the qualifications. Let's say praise the Lord. This is wonderful. I couldn't do it, but Jesus did it. And God was well pleased. And he was bruised and beaten. And his blood ran. And the sinner, he was very thankful for that offering of that lamb. And the priest never examined the sinner. He said, when did you last sin? He didn't ever say anything to him. He just checked the lamb. And he passed. Hallelujah. And you're free, Tim.
Amen.
Go
Amen.
Rejoicing. You're free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now that is really amazing to me. You don't see in the Bible they came and they checked the sinner. They checked the sacrifice. And Jesus Christ met the qualifications. And God was well pleased. And because he was accepted, we are accepted when we believe in him. I just think that's wonderful. Hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord. So, we could have been consumed by God's wrath and sent to hell. But he didn't check us. He checked the lamb. The sacrifice was the thing that was checked. And after Jesus went down into hell, he preached to the souls in prison, the lost. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. He went down into hell and he preached. Which sometimes these people were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Now listen, brother and sister. Eight souls were saved by water. Can you believe out the whole planet there's only eight people saved? That's what the Bible says. All they had to do was walk up into that ark and they would have been saved. Don't make a mistake today. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. People will turn down the gospel for something else. He rose and overcame hell and death. What a victory that is. Amen. He rose and defeated hell and death and has given eternal life to those that believe. those that believe, the just shall live by faith. Not those who keep the Ten Commandments. It's good to keep the Ten Commandments, that's fine. But that's not going to save you. You keep the Ten Commandments because you love the Lord. Those that live good lives, that's nice, but they won't save you. There's people out of this, in this city alone, who live better lives than me. Put me to shame. But do they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior? Do they believe in Him as their sacrifice accepted by God? We could do all these things and say, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Those that believe, Jesus took all their sin. Who believes that Jesus? Raise your hand. Do you believe He took all of your sins? Every one of your sins from the day you're born until the day Jesus takes you home. Just say praise the Lord. He's so wonderful. He is so wonderful. You talk about a wonderful Savior. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. Thanks, Nancy. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. Hallelujah. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He will carry you through. And when the battle is won and the victory is won, my Lord will carry you through. My loving brother, when the world is on fire, you'll need my Jesus to be your Savior. Just pray. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for this glorious covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are free in Christ alone. Lord, I just thank You, Lord, that You paid it all. We are free the minute we believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Lord, may we claim it for our children, for our family, that they also will come to know Thee. Lord, we ask it in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus for Your glory. May You take this word and bless it to hearts. We thank You for it, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, brother, sister, that's half the sermon. But we've said enough. I really believe it's real simple. If you can believe, it's yours. Is that right, brother? That's what you preach on the street. Preach the gospel. Just preach it pure. Keep it simple. In Christ alone, I hope He is. is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, burn through the fear ground. Words actually in that song, in Christ alone. It's in Christ alone. It's not in the church. It's not in some preacher. As good as they are, God uses men, absolutely uses prophecies, all those, but it's actually in Christ alone that we are saved. We just proved it, that he was God's sacrifice accepted by God himself. And the minute we believe in it, we become a part of him. Praise be to God. Does anybody would like prayer as we sing another song? You got another one there, Sister Jude? And then we will close in prayer. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Here we go. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Trust the sweetest grace that holy lives on Jesus' name. On Christ of solid rock I stand, all other ground in His hand. Thank you. That's the truth. Last line, all other ground is sinking sand. The only firmness is in the Lord Jesus Christ, which you've just heard. You know what? I find it easier in my own testimony is to be able to walk with the Lord. Don't just have him there or at church. Have him everywhere. Everything you do. In a given day, I frequently have the need to say, thank you, Lord, I appreciate you did that. Even last night, I was coming across the Whairarā Hills. I had maybe seated, just, and then we're going to close, but there's a lot of fog, very thick fog. Then I came up the top of the hills, and then it was low cloud. And driving along, the only way I could see the road was the white lines on the left. And then I said, thank you, Lord. I'm glad that you allow me to see that. And the many times I've been over that hill, I could not think where I was because I couldn't see except about at that angle down there. And I said, thank you, Lord. I asked before I left that you watch over me and bring me back. Been to Taupo twice this week. However, walk with the Lord, that's what I'm saying. Walk with the Lord with everything that you do, say, think, give it to Jesus. He'll see you through. Well, we're just going to close in prayer. Say thank you, Lord, for the food we're going to partake. All are welcome. It's over in the hall. And then we have a service, short service there, 1 p.m. this afternoon. Lord, we're very, very grateful that we have access to Almighty God. We know, Lord, that we're not good enough, could never be. We're already born in sin. But, Lord, you love us. Why? I don't know. But you love me. And you love every one of the people that are here in this auditorium, every one of those who are all around the world that are watching, listening. He loves you too. All we need to do is accept what you've done. And we say, thank you for that, Lord. We want to walk with you because you're coming back and you're coming to take us. Just bless the food that we're about to have, Lord. Bless the fellowship in between, Lord. And thank you for the service this afternoon. We ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Let's just sing one more as we go. It's a lovely, lovely name. 169, the lovely name of Jesus. And then you can just go as you wish. It's a lovely, lovely name, the name of Jesus. It's a lovely, lovely name from heaven above, dispelling the clouds of life with peace, filling the sand.
thank you, Lord, for saving me. 166.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Yes, Lord, I'm free. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Thank you.